something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
The scales of justice have tipped America in our favor, toward the right, the light, towards God. It is time. It is happening. Get ready. This is the week. I'm Alan Masters, my brother David. David, I got to tell you, you know, Mike Jones is on with us on Friday. He's on with us almost every Friday. And man, the controversy continued on into the social media sphere, and we were going back and forth because he looks at things like many of us do, like I have, like you do, like we do, like it's just how it is, very intellectually. And I gotta tell you, we've all gotta take a step back. We gotta stop sliding the little beads on the abacus over, as you know, trying to keep score. Right now, the scales of justice have tipped in our direction. The tipping point has happened. But
what
that doesn't mean
that? I'm
well, because I just, my spirit tells me that, because I believe that this 27th, the date that I was telling you, God said, remember that November to the 27th, I was trying. What is that? What is that? I was watching. I've talked about this on my Sunday conversation like three times now. So I've beat a dead horse, but I kept watching so intently. It's like, you know what they say? A watched pot never boils. That's the problem right now. We are so consumed with the news. I get it. That's what we do. We talk about and dissect and consume and regurgitate news, try and make sense out of it. But we've all got to learn how to take a step back. You know what? On Sunday, yesterday, I didn't watch any news. It was on a couple of times, you know, and I just thought, I got something to do. I got better to do. I need to just give my brain a rest. Anyway, and I know there's a lot going on, and it's Monday, and it's it's already happening again. But I believe the tipping point has happened, and the scales of justice are now leaning in our direction. What happens in the dark will come out in the light, and it's coming out. And you know what? Just like when you catch let's just say you catch a big rat by the tail, and it doesn't, the mouse trap or the rat trap doesn't cut its head off or catch its head. It catches its tail, and you try then and go and get that rat. It'll fight with everything it's got. And that's what we've got happening in America. The rats are fighting with everything they got, lying, cheating, stealing, doing anything they can to twist their way out of this.
Well, I wish I was as optimistic as you are. But
I know a lot of people do. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic, because the machinery behind the big steal is so massive. And I do believe that the Chinese communists are involved, along with other elements, including the Iranians, who literally hate America. They hate America because we stand for what they cannot ever have, which is real, true freedom, individual freedom. These people, the Chinese, want abject conformity, total and complete. And they allow you a little bit, you know, in order to function in a way so that they have what they call, what do they call it over there? It is not free enterprise, but it is a form of socialized free enterprise so that they can sell stuff to America and put money in their, you know, into their military. And that's really all they care about, is world domination. This is the way it's been in China for 5,000 or more years. They don't know how to be any other way. Unless, of course, they've immigrated to this country and understood and grown up in a world that allows them to actually be free and individual and think for themselves. So they want to impose what it is that they believe is the way on us. And what you're seeing now is the big steal, and it's not just the Democrats. I've said it for the last, I don't know, however, 8-9 months, Democrat-China collusion. And I truly believe that. And what's happened, Alan, is over the weekend now, escalation. There are somebody involved in bombing a Trump supporter's home in Michigan, and I'd like to play that audio for you. This is very important because this is just the beginning. Go ahead and play.
Things I've missed over the weekend. Here's number one.
He says he felt the house shake. I'm a Cone County man. says someone threw an explosive into his home, and he thinks he knows why. The man lives in St. Clair Shores and believes he was targeted because of the signs on his front lawn. A neighbor's security camera caught the blast from down the street. It left a hole in the man's living room. Tonight, Larry Spruill spoke to that homeowner who was offering a reward for information.
The homeowner tells me everything happened early Saturday morning, a little bit after midnight. He was upstairs with his girlfriend when they heard a loud boom go off. He rushed downstairs. He was shot. At what happened?
Smoke was filling the house. I went up, told her to get out of the house, grab the dog, get out of the house.
That's what this homeowner, who we are not identifying for safety reasons, says he experienced early Saturday morning after hearing not one, but two loud booms. This is video from his neighbor's house down the street showing the explosions.
An explosion went off, and I kind of sounded like a transformer, I guess, from a power line. And then another explosion went off, and it shook the house.
Now, he showed us the aftermath of the damage inside his living room.
And when we came outside, we noticed the whole window, and it was completely blown out, smoke coming out. I didn't know if the house was on fire or what was going on, and I seen a truck run, you know, racing down the road. When the police showed up, they went in. Luckily, it didn't catch fire, but the actual implosion of the mortar did some serious damage.
That homeowner also gave us this video of who he says is the man who threw the explosion devices inside his home and then drove off.
Well, look, this is the beginning.
Of course.
These are the shock troopers that are out there. They're beginning the assault on those of us who do not conform to their leftist ideologies, because we cannot be tolerated, Alan. We are the scourge of the left.
They want to keep people in fear. And this is why we still have to be vigilant at all times, and why we will have vigilantes, which are people that will keep the peace, keep the laws. There's not enough police. Look, this is why they want to get rid of the police. They want to defund the police. What do you think? Murders are up. Carjackings are up like 548%. I posted something the other day about how, in Minneapolis, 548% carjackings are up. There's no police to stop it. So we've got to have some vigilantes, people that are willing to step up and say, no, you're not going to do that. And we're going to see more and more of that, to where people are going to be getting in, what do they call those groups where concerned parents or concerned neighborhoods or whatever
support
they call
groups,
them, where people
support groups.
Say, yep. Yes, well, not support groups, but people that are. Remember, our friend Bob Just used to drive around, and they would go with the cops, and they would be there to
neighborhood
support
policing.
Them.
Yeah,
yeah, basically, you know, and neighborhood watch kind of a thing, and
right.
Not that people are out looking for trouble, but believe me. They will say people are out looking for trouble, because that's how they twist the truth.
Well,
and
listen, here's some statistics for you. 40 shot, 6 killed during the weekend in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Chicago.
The Chicago Tribune reports
the precise figure from December 2nd, 2020 to January 2020. Now, that's really amazing.
December 2nd of 2019.
2019. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
At 3,862 shooting victims.
Yeah,
that's
worse than
Afghanistan.
I have friends that live in Chicago, and they're disgusted. It's just like, I have friends that live in New York, moving out. I have friends that live in L.A., moving out. You have friends that are living in these big cities, all of us do, that are going, I got to get out of here. And listen, I don't care. We live in Oregon, beautiful Oregon. And if this governor continues with her crap, we're going to be moving out, because this is insanity.
Complete Australia is looking
insanity.
Better and better every day to me, because they
I
got
to go to a place where I can have a Second Amendment type thing going on.
Well,
if I can't have
true.
Guns, I don't have my freedom.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a bad thing. But I you know, did you say that Mancow, the radio show host that you and I know, many people don't know Mancow, but he was talking about maybe running for governor or something, or mayor?
He was on Newsmax yesterday and talking about maybe running for governor of the state.
Imagine having that name, Mancow.
Do you know that's the story behind that?
Well, but a cow is a female, so that's a bit of a
hermaphrodite.
So
here's what happened.
Right?
When he was in high school, they wanted him to act in a play, and the only part that was left was the part of a male cow. And so, for whatever reason, that name, Man Cow, stuck with him for the rest of his life after he played the Man Cow.
He's in Chicago. He's a top radio host.
Well, he's actually retired now. He just retired his show.
Did he really?
Yeah, he quit on the 25th. He said he couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that leaves room for us, David. We'll take a break. It's Perilous World Radio. Be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Cure Stress by Roy Masters, subtitled How Your Mind Will Make You Well. This book teaches you how to resolve your fear, anger, and guilt, and discover your true identity. Most of us are the sum total of our experiences. Another way of saying this is that we are bothered, burdened, and sometimes disabled by our past. Unless we learn to respond correctly in the present moment, the present merely becomes an extension of the past that we are already trying to leave behind. In the book Cure Stress, Roy Masters teaches the Cure Stress exercise, which enables the user to remain calm and patient in the face of extreme stress, confusion, and cruelty. Based on Judeo-Christian roots, the exercise will help you back to your center of dignity and understanding and show you how to remain sane, poised, and tranquil under the most severe trials and tribulations. The name of the book is Cure Stress by Roy Masters, available at FHU.com. That's FHU.com. Or call to order 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours Monday through Friday, West Coast time. Also available at FHU.com, an article called Opposing Forces by me, David Masters. Stress and peace are quintessential opposing spiritual components of life, the yin to the yang. Living the gift of the present means learning to find your center, being objective, and having the strength to carry through no matter how painful or challenging that situation is. Being present means no outcome-based thinking, not letting anything that you want or any person or pressure determine what your principles will be or where your moral compass will point. The word stress in the human sense is almost always associated with loss and suffering. Available at FHU.com right now, along with many, many other articles. That's FHU.com, 24/7. Call 1-800-877-3227 or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, as I'm noodling around looking for interesting stuff to talk about besides the boringness of the news, because it's just so, nothing ever seems to change anymore. Just, I'm bored with it. Like you, Alan, I didn't watch any news yesterday. I kept it on the Hallmark Channel. I watched Christmas movies all day long. And then
True Grit last night, by the way.
Oh, John
Wayne. Not the original one, the new one with who played in that? Matt Damon was one of the actors, and then Jeff Bridges played the True Grit guy, Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of good actors in this movie. Really a good movie, horrible ending, but movies, you know, it's fun. They're fun because they bring to life things that, you know, it's like, what is grit? How do you describe what grit is? Watch True Grit and you'll see. Go ahead, David.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, in the movie verse, I found this great clip from an old movie. Remember Independence Day when we were invaded by aliens?
Yeah.
Here's the speech of the president the day they were going into battle. And I just thought, this sounds so much like what we have to deal with right now. Go ahead.
Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interests. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. From tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Yeah, there you go. And well, that's the virus.
That gave me a chill, by the way. It was a good one.
I know.
Good one. Yeah.
Yeah. The virus is our enemy now, though, and it's President Virus who's going to take us into that dark night. He already told us it's going to be a dark winter. So we are going to fight for our survival, even though nothing is as it is told to be. The virus is not as deadly as it has been predicted to be. That was all part of shock troop mentality to try to fear us into conformity. And, well, it's worked on probably about, I don't know, most people in this country already walking around with a mask on, which is pure insanity. Everybody who has any kind of intelligence understands that,
well,
except
David,
for President Virus and company.
Well, and all those leaning left anyway. But listen, here's the situation. Remember Orson Welles' The War of the Worlds, the original one? People actually believed what they were hearing, so much so that they threw themselves out windows because they thought aliens were attacking. In that movie right there, Independence Day, it was, yes, it was a war between this alien and humanity, mankind. We have that going on again right now.
Absolutely.
The difference is that this is a very interesting twist, that it is a virus. And in the War of the Worlds, that is what ended up killing the aliens, was a basic common cold.
Yep.
But we now have today a twist to these two plots. If you put them together, we have evil and a virus and evil people. And the virus is as much of the mind as it is of the body. And so it's a very interesting evil plot. And if anybody cannot see that what we're going through is very epic, in the same way that if this was a movie and you were watching it in a theater right now, you'd go, I wouldn't wear a mask. I wouldn't stay in those cities. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do that. But you can see when you're objective. But see, when you're caught up in it, when you're in the movie, you can't see the forest for the trees. You can't see, you can't understand, you can't come to grips with the fact that we are in that movie. What was that movie with Jim Carrey where they were watching him? The Newman Show?
Truman.
That's right. The Truman Show. We're in a movie. The difference is there are people on that parallel universe movie plane, and there are people that are stepping out of it going, not me. I'm not doing that. And more and more and more are waking up. And that's why I was talking about the 27th for me being the tipping point, because God said to me, remember the date, the 27th of November. And then a month later, he said, remember the word justice. And so the scales of justice, David, are tipping in our direction. It ain't happening fast. It's a slow moving burn. It's like the slow. Remember when we used to make what is it called? The wick that goes to the bomb. Isn't that what it's called? The wick? The fuse.
Fuse.
Yeah. Right. Remember we used to make those? Remember when Dad showed us how to make a fuse? You know, I don't remember, a little bit of gunpowder when we were kids. You remember doing that?
Yeah.
I remember, you know, and then we would take, what was it, like paper towel and twist it and twist it and twist it and make these funny little wicks, and then they'd go.
Right.
They'd burn along the ground, and all we did was make a wick. We weren't making bombs. We were just making this funny little thing. But it's like a slow burning wick. And you've seen those in movies. You can have a fast one or you can have a slow one. This is a slow burning wick to the bomb that is going to explode on the left. The truth bomb. The absolute truth is going to be shown, and they are going to go down. That's my opinion. That's it. I'm sticking to it, and I don't doubt it. I just feel like it's going to happen. Now, is it going to happen in the next week or two or three? I don't know. May it take 2 years, 4 years? I don't know. Could it happen, you know, we wake up one morning and the bomb explodes on the left of the truth is finally found out because somebody flips and says, yes, this is a huge plan and starts naming, you know, Biden and Harris and all these different people, the shifty sack of shift, is, as Judge Jeanine called Adam Schiff a sack of shift. I love that. Yeah. It's so unladylike. It's
That's
beautiful.
Good.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's the thing is, last night on Fox News is The Next Revolution with Steve Hilton. This guy is on fire.
He's coming alive. Yep. He's coming alive. Finally. Took him a while.
And I've got some clips I want to play. I don't know if I have time right now before the break. Okay, so when we come back, we will play these. Oh man, it was almost like a 12-minute expose on how wrong they are about this virus. I've got just a few minutes of it, but it paints a picture that there is a collusion among the elite, the medical elite, the establishment, the media, the government, people within the government, the deep state. And if we're not careful, we will be ruled by a Chinese-style form of government. It's coming.
Yep. Well, I remember when Mike Tyson did his exhibition fight recently, I had a feeling it was going to be an exhibition, and I thought, there ain't going to be no winner. And I remember thinking that. And our producer paid to watch it, and I kept on sending him little notes. Who's winning? Who's winning? And at the end, it was a draw. Well, what we have going on right now is a big political exhibition. But I think there's going to be a winner. We'll be right back. It's Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
American people give Democrats a majority in this chamber, you will have forfeited the right to tell us how to run that majority.
Don't talk to me that way. You're just a lightweight. Don't talk to me that way.
You walk a perilous road.
I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
In America, we have full and fair and free elections.
This election was rigged.
And then we honor the results.
And this election has to be turned around.
The people of this nation and the laws of the land won't stand for anything else.
It's a disgrace that this is happening to our country.
Let's not normalize that lie, because it is delusional.
Don't talk to me that way.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.
You know, David, we forgot to mention that Giuliani has got COVID, and he went into the hospital, and evidently he's doing well. But, you know, my feeling is that a lot of this is in the mind. I think that a lot of battles in life are fought in the mind first. And one thing our dad has always taught us is to stay calm. Don't react. Don't get angry. Don't hate. Don't hate the thing that's going on with you. And it changes the outcome. So anyway, I just wanted to say that.
Yes, indeed. And look, I mean, the likelihood is that many people that are in the media and people that you know and I know will end up having some degree of COVID. But in the Steve Hilton episode from Sunday night, and people can watch it on YouTube, it's really interesting, because what he says, essentially, I'm gonna fill in the missing pieces here before I play the audio, is that it started in Southern California with a particular doctor who is married to a professor at Stanford University. And Stanford University has been one of the number one suppressors of the truth about COVID. Not sure why, but here's what they did. They formulated an approach to a hypothetical virus after 9/11. They formulated an approach that would get people in a situation where they had to lock down, and basically they feared a biological attack at that time after 9/11. So this is not new. This is an old idea that they had the first opportunity to actually implement. So this is where Steve Hilton begins to talk about this the story in clip 33. Go ahead.
Welcome back. This week, Scott Atlas left his position as White House coronavirus advisor for years. Dr. Atlas was a senior member of Stanford University's Department of Medicine. I know Stanford well. I taught there when I first moved to America in 2012, and I've always been grateful for the opportunities it gave me. But on November the 20th, the university's faculty senate condemned Dr. Atlas. They said his actions, quote, contradict medical science. They claim he misrepresented knowledge and opinion regarding the management of pandemics, showing disdain for established medical knowledge. And they alleged that he violated Stanford's core values and high ethical standards. High ethical standards. Interesting. Earlier in the year, three current members of Stanford's medical faculty, epidemiologists John Ioannidis, Jay Bhattacharya, and Aaron Ben-David, published a study that completely upended what we thought we knew about the virus. By testing antibodies in Santa Clara County, where Stanford is based, the doctors established that coronavirus was much more infectious, but much less deadly, than we'd been told. This finding called into question the entire strategy of our leaders, locking everyone down to try and stop anyone being infected.
So this is where it started, in Santa Clara County, where Stanford University is located. The person who did it is a health person within the county who started by locking down Santa Clara County. And then it spread from there to the Bay Area, and then from the Bay Area to the entire state of California. And here goes the next part of this, clip 34.
If the virus was as infectious as the Stanford doctors showed, there's no point shutting down the economy because that won't actually stop the virus. And if it's much less deadly, then for most people it doesn't matter because they'll have zero or mild symptoms if they get infected. The right policy would be to protect the vulnerable while letting everyone else get on with their lives. This was hugely significant. On this show, we were the first to criticize the lockdowns, to say the cure is worse than the disease. And we brought you the Stanford doctor's findings as soon as they're available. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya joined us on April the 12th. What was the reaction from Stanford? This man, Lloyd Minor, is head of Stanford Medicine. Instead of supporting his colleagues' groundbreaking work, he tried to silence them. Using the pretext of a manufactured whistleblower complaint, he ordered an investigation. For 6 months, the doctors were threatened with retribution, hounded by Stanford lawyers, prevented from speaking out, even subjected to smear campaigns in the press. Yet their pioneering findings have since been confirmed by multiple other studies, this one conducted in July and published in September, another more recently from the CDC itself. After 6 months, the doctors were completely exonerated and able to speak freely again.
So now I want to go to clip 20. And here's where Jordan Peterson, brilliant Jordan Peterson, giving a lecture on how Hitler used propaganda to brainwash people. This is where it comes into play. Go ahead and go.
All right. Now, I want to show you a brief film. You can look here at the artistic and propagandistic transformation of the idea of order into a politicized message. And the thing that's so interesting about Hitler's particular brand of fascism, it wasn't precisely a movement that was predicated on ideas. Like communism. Communism is predicated on ideas. But the Nazis went at it with something that wasn't really in the realm of idea. It was more in the realm of like embodied disgust and image. And so it was also very much more difficult to fight against from the ideational perspective. You know, it wasn't a well-developed intellectual movement. It was an embodied movement. And Hitler was extraordinarily good at using the metaphors and the images, and then his incredible capacity for propagandistic display to fire people up at a level of analysis that they weren't really even aware of.
So what he's saying, and it's clear,
I love him,
that,
by the way.
He's so brilliant. I actually have six clips of him talking about Hitler, but I'm going to equate this to the Democrats and the left. And what they have done is they've constantly used these buzzwords. One of those buzzwords is white supremacy, which is strangely enough, is what the Aryan nations were. But they're using this playbook to try to polarize us. And by calling Trump a monster and by calling Trump the reason for the coronavirus, because this is all they've ever done, is blame Trump for the coronavirus. That's all they ever had. They've used that emotionalizing of people to polarize them against the very person who was actually about to save America from the extreme left and from the Chinese communists. Your thoughts on that, Al?
Well, no, I completely agree. I agree with about 90% of everything that comes out of Jordan Peterson's mouth. I mean, the guy is simply brilliant. And I've interviewed him before. He's a beautiful man. He's about the same age as me. I think I'm a year older than him. He went through a really tough time over the last year and a half of his life. And you guys can look up Jordan Peterson, Dr. Jordan Peterson, if you want, and listen to some of his talks, check out his books and things. But he's a fantastic speaker. He's brilliant. It's hard to argue with him because whatever flows through him is just truth. He just is a truth teller, but he adds science to it and he adds psychology to it. And it's just brilliant. Although sometimes it's a little bit intense because there's so much, you know, there's so much there. You just have to go slow down. I got to think about that for a minute, but go ahead.
Right. So what he's doing is he's giving this class and he shows a propaganda film from Nazi Germany. And I want you to think about the bombing that took place over the weekend in Michigan.
In someone's home.
The Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so listen to the next clip of Jordan Peterson, clip two.
So let's take a look at this film.
We Germans had a look at the Polish ghetto 25 years ago. This time our eyes are sharpened by our experience in the last few decades. Unlike in 1914, we no longer see just the most grotesque and comical of these questionable ghetto figures. This time we recognize that there's a plague here. A plague that threatens the health of the Aryan peoples. Richard Wagner once said, "The Jew is the demon behind the corruption of mankind." And these pictures prove it.
Wow. Propaganda.
That's only a tiny clip of what he played. He showed how they used imagery to make people feel disgust toward the Jews, the Jewish people, and the gypsies and other groups that they needed to marginalize in order to make them the enemy. And so this is exactly what's happening. The bombing in Michigan is a manifestation of the disgust that has been generated by the left, by the media, by the media, the assertions of white supremacy and the assertions of nonconformance to the idea that if everybody would wear a mask, then everything would be okay. This is the disgust that's been generated. And so in the next Jordan Peterson clip, it gets more interesting. Go ahead and clip three.
There's a book called Ordinary Men. Ordinary Men is a book about, it's the best book of its type. Maybe it's the only book of its type. But it's plotted much like Breaking Bad in some sense. It's a story about these German policemen in the early stages of World War II. And they were guys who were old enough to be raised in Germany really before the Hitlerian propaganda came out in full force. You know, if you were a teenager, say, in the 1930s, you were going to be pulled right into the propaganda machine, and maybe you were part of the Hitler Youth, and like you were raised in that. But if you were older, then you were raised before that, and you're not as amenable to propaganda once you're older than about, well, I would say about 22 or something like that. It's pretty young, actually. If you're going to make a soldier, you have to get a soldier young, because once people are in their early 20s, say, they already have their personality developed.
So this is interesting, too, because if you look at the movement of the Black Lives Matter, you see many old people in that group?
Right? No.
Okay, it's a youth movement.
Right.
It is the new Hitler youth movement, and they need to get these people activated out of their sleeper cells and moving toward those of us who resist the New World Order plans that have been installed in our political leaders and in our medical professionals and others to destroy this country. This has been coming for probably 70 years or more, Alan.
Well, and Lincoln's famous speech, "A house divided cannot stand," and so the enemy doesn't have to fire a single shot. They just have to get us to fight each other.
It's just a few bombs.
Brilliant. No, because we're going to throw it at each other. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of E-Still-N-O. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online on your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
There's no escaping the challenges of life. Everyone has to learn how to deal with stress. The bottom line is this: if you don't control stress, stress will control you. Go to FHU.com. That's www.fhu.com. And find out how you can control stress.
Every night I'd take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. What he did for me is he bore witness to everything that was already running through my mind, and through doing that helped me delve into my past and see where things went wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, as he says, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing.
Visit www.fhu.com. Learn a simple technique that will change the way you deal with stress. For more information, call 1-800-877-3227 or visit fhu.com.
Listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, so I'm switching around from clip to clip to clip to make these points today about how the left is using propaganda and how they are focusing anger and disgust on those of us who will resist their even the vaccine itself. If we are vaccine resistors, as Mike Jones said last week, I believe that there are perhaps signs of the mark of the beast here. We've talked about this many times. But I want to go ahead, and before I play the next Jordan Peterson, I want to play clip 35, Steve Hilton, how the medical establishment is in league with the devil. Listen to this.
Stanford Medicine's boss, Lloyd Minor. How dare anyone question the lockdown? It was ordered by the wife of our colleague. This is how the groupthink started. The Stanford study was the first scientific challenge to the lockdown policy. So naturally, it had to be destroyed. The dissenting doctors had to be attacked, smeared, and silenced. Universities, science, the whole point is to be open, to gather evidence, to debate. Stanford did the exact opposite. They attempted a cover-up. It is grotesque and a total disgrace. Meanwhile, the rest of us had to live with the consequences. The lockdown groupthink spread from Stanford to the medical establishment to the media to the bureaucrats and the Democrats. With utterly cynical bad faith and realizing the weakness of their own position, they accused anyone against lockdown of wanting people to die. But of course, people died despite the lockdown, and thousands more died because of the lockdown. We brought you the toll week after week. The establishment's cruel, destructive lockdowns failed. Yet here we are again, about to repeat them. None of it's based on science or data. Big business open, but small business closed, 25% this, 50% that. It is all capricious, pseudo-scientific nonsense. Look at Biden with his pathetic statement about masking in his first 100 days. It is pure BS, plucked out of thin air by some PR idiot. Everything Biden says about the virus is for politics, not public health.
There you go. Now, this was a brilliant, brilliant overview of how insane the lockdown and the mask ideology is. But those of us who refuse to agree to it, We are the enemies. They will accuse us, and they, as they've accused President Trump, as Keith Olbermann has done. He said that Trump should be tried for 220,000 deaths, for every single one, with a death penalty. This is the Hitlerian belief system working, and here's what they're going to do next. And here's what they've already done, but this is the next level of it. Jordan Peterson talking about how turning police into killers for the Nazi regime. This is coming at us, folks.
These policemen were sent into Poland after the Germans marched through. It was wartime, and there was this hypothesis in Germany that the Jews in particular were operating as a fifth column and undermining the German war effort, because, of course, the Germans blamed the Jews and a variety of other people for actually setting up the conditions that made the war necessary. And so when the police were sent into Poland, they were also required to make peace, roughly speaking. And so they started out by rounding up all the Jewish men between 18 and 65 and gathering them in stadiums and then shipping them off on the trains. But that isn't where they ended. They ended in a very, very dark place. I mean, these guys were going out in the field with naked pregnant women and shooting them in the back of the head by the end of their training. And what's really interesting about that is that their commander told them that they could go home at any time. This is not one of those examples of people following orders. And the reason they didn't, there's many reasons, but one of the reasons they didn't is because they didn't think it was comradely, so to speak, to leave the guys they were working with to do all the dirty work and run off.
Okay, so they rounded up all the Jewish men into stadiums and shipped them off on trains, because they were blamed for creating the need for the war itself. Now, wait a minute. We've heard this. We've heard this spoken about by the idea that many people believe that they want Trump to stay in the White House so they can call him a rebel and then start their own civil war against those of us who are on the right, on the political right in America. The Nazi regime turned people into killers, and they gave them free choice. You don't have to do this. You could go home. But they wouldn't, because then they would be seen as traitors. But you know what? We are seeing something in America that we never believed we would see in all of our lives. We're seeing people being turned into killers for the Biden and the left and the Chinese regime. Your thoughts before I play the next clip?
Well, just one thing. I noticed that in our town, small town USA, an all-American city here in Oregon, more people have died from suicide than have died from COVID. So I'm just telling you, it's going on, and I'm watching people posting, I can't take it, I can't take it. And I'm responding to, you know, friends that I feel like, you know, somebody needs to say something. Go for a walk. Take your kids out and go out into the mountains and go for a, you know, a hike and make cookies. Do some. Don't let your brain, your mind, don't let them, you know, remove the chains from your mind. Don't let them take you down with this psychological warfare, because that's what they're working on. This is all to destroy your mind, to make you weak, to succumb to the pressures and to the fears of this insanity.
When we come back, we're going to hear more about how the Nazis turned police into killers for the regime. People like Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann, I got the clip. It is necessary to remove and arrest the president. And he says also Americans have a collective hallucination to share. They're looking at us as if we are the vermin, that the rats. And they're going to get out their pitchforks one day, and you're going to be shocked at what you're about to see.
Well, they'll get out their pitchforks. I'll get out my AK-47. Anyway, we'll take a break. Let them come out. You know, this is, I'm not Frankenstein. You know what I'm saying? They can get their pitchforks all they want. We'll take a break. We are not morons. We see what's going on in this crazy world. Oh, what a pathetic situation we're in. We'll take a break. It is Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Yeah! We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Welcome to the show. It is Monday. We are breaking down the news, taking a look at what's going on, trying to help you to step back once more, and then step back one more time, because sometimes we just get too close to the trees, to the forest, to see the trees, or whatever that saying is. You know what I'm saying. You just got to step back, because otherwise you get consumed by it. It's information overload. And so today we're just kind of breaking down what's been going on and looking at some of the folks that are the truth tellers. Jordan Peterson, an excellent example of that. I know David's got some haters he wants to talk about now, because I heard Keith Olbermann, Harold Olbermann. I just, yikes. Anyway, I'm Alan Masters, my brother David. Go ahead. Yes.
Here's the thing. I want to play the Jake Tapper clip real quick, because the accusations of lies and deceit are also designed. See, they're saying that Trump is creating this chaos. But it isn't Trump that's creating the chaos. It is people who are in the media, who are on the left, who are in the establishment, who are in the deep state. Listen to what Jake Tapper said a couple of weeks ago.
We can't stand for that in our country. Thank you very much.
What a sad night for the United States of America to hear their president say that, to falsely accuse people of trying to steal the election, to try to attack democracy that way with this feast of falsehoods. Lie after lie after lie about the election being stolen. No evidence for what he's saying. Just smears about the integrity of vote counting in state after state. When he wins a state, it's legitimate. When he loses, it's because the vote is being stolen from him. It's not true. It's ugly. It's frankly pathetic.
That's really funny, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's no evidence. And now, in clip 11, I'm going to jump around here. Joe Manchin, a Democrat of West Virginia, talks about Trump's political posturing as being dangerous. Listen.
I want to start first with the situation with the virus here. You just heard from Dr. Birx. You've heard from Dr. Fauci. I think the frustration is, why is it that we can't have even Washington unified? Why can't even you guys in the United States Senate come together and everybody say, hey, let's wear a mask? I mean, it does seem absurd how polarized we've gotten over this. And it does seem to emanate from one individual, the president.
Yeah, it sure does. The president has not. It's been part of his political posturing. It's very dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. You know, over what, close to 280,000 deaths so far?
Okay, and then go ahead. Let's play the next clip, which is clip 12. Georgia election official. This is a guy who would not allow the Trump administration to file a lawsuit. Listen to what he says.
Mr. Sterling, you had made an impassioned plea there that we just played, that this has to stop. It doesn't look like he chose to stop. Is there, could you please debunk or what he said there when it comes to your role in the Georgia elections?
At this point, it's a game of whack-a-mole, he's been saying. The president's statements are false. They're disinformation. They are stoking anger and fear among his supporters. And hell, I voted for him. The situation is getting much worse. And it's an environment that's been built out over years. And it's not just, you know, Republicans on this side this time, but even in polling up to 2019, up to 50% of Democrats think Russians flipped votes on machines. So this is going both ways. It's undermining democracy. We've got to get to a point where responsible people act responsibly.
Oh, responsible people, hey? Okay, so let's play clip 12 of Keith Olbermann.
This is Olbermann versus Trump, and I'm not Trump. President Karen is now yelling at the manager, demanding to see the manager's manager. But President Karen has continued to mismanage his own coup. He sent Rudy Giuliani out in public to argue his case. Giuliani actually screamed, "You think we're stupid? You think we're fools?" permitting all of us to pause and say, "Oh my, yes, we know you're stupid. We know you're fools. We're just wondering if you're wearing pants." The bad news is, I think the lame duck president is now pivoting to Trump 2024. For months, I've been predicting this. First mentioned it here in the second of these comments on October 8th. When it's finally over, he utters this breathless sentence. I concede and I'm running for president in 2024. The rallies start next Friday. The following appeared over the bylines of Peter Baker and Maggie Haberman in the New York Times. I have not seen it reported previously. Quoting, for months as his chances of being reelected dwindled, Mr. Trump told advisors, sometimes joking, sometimes not, that should he lose, he would promptly announce that he was running again in 2024. Two advisors said they anticipate he will make good on that declaration if his legal challenges fail and is defeated, a move that, if nothing else, would allow him to raise money to finance the rallies that sustain him. Trump can still live in a version of the bubble that he and the 69 million morons who voted for him have lived in since 2015. Inside Trump world, it's fun and exciting, and there's no pandemic and nothing but white people and lots of guns, and everybody will be a billionaire soon. We have not had a lot of political exiles in this country, but Trump and his people will form their own grudge-driven alt-government. Biden's lying. Biden's Chinese. Biden's a robot. And their vendetta fuel will be limitless. I always think of Bob Schalke, manager of the baseball New York Yankees in 1930 for one season. They fired him, and his successors won 23 of the next 45 pennants. And when they brought him back at the age of 85 to throw out the ceremonial first pitch, 45 years later, he looked around him and muttered, you know, I should still be managing this team. So there's the Trump 2024 campaign slogan. I should still be managing this team. Full report on my YouTube channel.
Good old Keith Olbermann. Wrong every single time. But here's the next one.
But he sounds so good saying it. I mean, really, he just sounds
He's a professional.
Convincing.
He's an absolute pro, right? But now here's what he's saying. He continues by saying that the Americans have a collective hallucination to share. And this, by the way, makes us into the new Jews. The right, the conservative right, are the new Jews. When will they start rounding us up? Well, maybe we should ask Keith Olbermann. Listen.
That claimed 1,616 lives yesterday and added 108,000 new infections. Why did exit polls show that two out of every five Americans claim they are better off now than they were in 2016? Because they now have a collective hallucination to share. Nobody asked by a pollster, are you better off than you were 4 years ago, has to show a bank statement or a note from a psychiatrist to prove it.
Okay. Now, look, I'm going to tell you right now, these people are the loudspeaker voices for the coming mass roundup of conservatives. Bombs are being thrown in people's homes. We're being looked at as if we're all insane. We are people who are virus spreaders, as Jordan Peterson talked about. That's how they were able to create a perception shell around Jewish people, because it was said that they were dirty and filthy and that no one should do business with them because they might pass something into the home of the person who's receiving the goods or services. This is all coming about. And so what I want to do is I want to go to the next Jordan Peterson clip where he talks more about turning policemen into killers for the Nazi regime. Go ahead.
They were also made physically ill multiple times, physically and psychologically ill by the things that they had to do. But they kept doing them anyways. So it's one step at a time. And that's the thing, is that you end up in very bad places one step at a time. So you got to watch those steps. You think about a totalitarian state. You think about the Nazis and their goose-stepping. And what's happening is that every single person in the military becomes an identical unit, right? They're all uniform. And they're all, in some sense, imitating the dictator in an absolutely perfect way. And so the dictator wants to impose strict uniformity on the entire population. That's order. Order. And one of the things we've discovered is that disgust sensitivity is associated with orderliness, and that's associated with conscientiousness. And one of the things about Hitler was that he was very disgust sensitive, and a lot of his hatred for non-Aryans. So imagine inside the Aryan box, it was all uniform. Outside, it was all parasites and predators. And so, and that was a manifestation of disgust, not of fear.
Woo! Disgust! Well, Keith Olbermann!
Let me just tell you, David, I'm just looking at something here. U.S. death rate, 1950 to 2020, macro trends. 2018, death rate, 8.685. 2019, 8.782. 2020, 8.80. 8.880. So, you have basically the same death rate, 1.120% of growth, 2019 to 2020. So year over year, the same exact death rate from 2019 to 2020. And this is from Macro Trends USA. You can look it up. We're being told that people are falling dead in the street while they're walking down the street. It ain't happening. People are dying. They're gonna die. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
At FHU.com, you can read a collection of articles by Roy Masters, myself, David Masters, and others with a focus on faith, meditation, healing, fears, and stress, and helping you take charge of your own life. Currently on FHU.com, Mass Hypnosis and Mind Control by me, David Masters. It starts this way. In our modern world, manipulators make use of what is known as priming. The mainstream media, sophisticated communicators, and various forms of communication can influence your attitude as well as your overt behavior without you ever knowing it. Researchers and social scientists understand that once a person's attitude is accessible to suggestion, otherwise known as hypnosis, at that moment, your attitude can be used as a guide to some form of action. Anyone that wants to guide your actions and attitudes intentionally or unconsciously uses subtle influences to form and direct your behavior. To understand priming mechanisms, let's examine some of the research findings. That's available on FHU.com right now. Also by me, David Masters, Delicious Delusion. I recently had the opportunity to spend time with a family member on my wife's side of the family. I will call that person Member X, that makes a living from working in the food industry. Member X is very skilled at preparing food and has been for decades. Member X is obese and has heart issues that can be deadly. Member X knows that the very food that is so much the focus of life and livelihood is also what will be the cause of death. It seems like a paradox. And this brings me to the point of my observation. Food is hypnotic above all other temptations, more than sex, money, and power, because food is a unique power to delude or cloud consciousness and hide anger, judgment, if not all the unhealthy, inhuman qualities, and most dangerously, suppress self-awareness. That's available on FHU.com right now.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to screw with our minds, and you can find equally as many things online that will tell you that people are just, you know, falling out of the sky. You know, they're falling off of, they must be on the wings of airplanes. They're dying. It's like Chicken Little. They're falling out of the sky. Now, are people dying from this? Yeah. But people die from, like David said, on many shows, they're eating peanuts. You get on an airplane and they won't serve you peanuts if there's somebody in the row, even if you have them, you're not supposed to eat them because people are allergic. People die from stuff. The problem right now is we don't know what people are actually dying from because everything that somebody dies from is COVID related. The guy on the motorcycle that didn't have his helmet on that smashed his head up against the curb when he wiped out. Oh, died of COVID. The guy whose airplane, you know, the propeller flew off and he hit the ground, died of COVID. The parachuter that tried to save his life that jumped out of the airplane, his parachute didn't open, died of COVID. We don't know why people are dying. The reality is it's all gigantic mind games, thermonuclear mind games.
Honestly, we do know why people are dying. And the CDC's own number up until, I think, just a few months ago, showed that about 9,500 people had died only from the COVID. Now, if you add to that pre-existing conditions and obesity and other morbidity factors, then you're going to have a hugely increased number of people, and that means more money for the hospitals that are caring for them.
Well,
because
and it costs more. If you just look through some of these bizarre things that they have, which are pretty gross, monthly death counts, 2019 January, 8,605. This was January of 19. The biggest number of deaths was cancer. And then behind that was COPD. So 1,738 died of cancer, 495 COPD.
Generally caused by smoking also.
I'm just being unhealthy in general too. But February, similar numbers, but cancer and COPD are the two top killers, which is odd here in this.
You can find a
stat from somewhere that'll carry your narrative. My friend always says, you know what? You believe anybody that agrees with your narrative. And I'm like, you're damn right.
but that's not necessarily true because the problem, though, is that what are you supposed
it's
to
more
deny?
True than not.
Well, the question is, you would truly be insane if you denied something that was actually true just to placate a group of other people that don't believe it. That's true insanity.
Here's two other ones just right below this. It's funny because it's a flip flop. Amid COVID 2019 pandemic, U.S. has seen a 300,000 excess deaths. And here's another one, 279,000 extra deaths in the U.S. so far. Maybe it is, but we've had this before with the flu, influenza, a bad flu year. You're going to have a certain amount of people that are going to get sick and die. It's very sad. I have a friend that we met her because her husband had asthma and he caught a bad cold and died in his sleep because he had asthma and he had a really bad cold. And this was, 15 years ago. And I thought, how sad is that? And one of my kids has a little touch of asthma. And so it's like, I'm very cautious. And then he was around people that had COVID and I go, you go out and get yourself tested. I don't care. Just go get tested. See what happens. Cause all these people around him had COVID. He goes, nope, negative. The problem is I don't even trust the test anymore. It's like I'm willing to take my chances.
Yeah. And the tests are notoriously wrong.
They're just notoriously skewed. But here's the thing. I feel that this whole thing with this virus and this injection that they want us to take is literally, it goes against everything I believe spiritually, religiously, physically, mentally, and everything else that I could throw on that pile. It goes against me. I would rather take my chances and just, I've been eating like we were joking this morning. I started about 2 weeks ago, instead of eating all kinds of stupid things, which end up, if you don't eat in the morning when you get up, you're going to eat all kinds of things, noshing on this, that, and the other. I said to my wife, you know what? Make me a nice bowl of oatmeal. I want to eat a bowl of oatmeal, stick with me all day long. So I eat a bowl of meal about 8:30 in the morning. I don't have to eat again until about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, have a nice big meal. And that's really, the way we should be eating is eat earlier in the afternoon and you actually end up sleeping better and all these other, side effects. Everything has side effects.
But there's also a reason for that.
Good side effects and bad side effects. Go ahead.
You remember Roman meal bread from back when we were kids?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Romans, when they were out marching and conquering, they didn't have a lot of food to take with them. They had to have stuff that would give them the energy in order to function and fight. And oats contain a huge amount of energy. And so not only are they good for you, they're good for your heart and other parts of your body, but they have a lot of energy stored in them. So that's the reason why oats are very good for you and they give you that much energy all day long. That's just one of the reasons.
I just want to know what the Romans did without toilet paper, because let me tell you, that oatmeal has another effect too, by the way.
Many of the
marching
landmarks
along.
That you see. landmines and landmarks.
And at about 9:30 every morning, the entire platoon finds a tree.
The columns were made out of something very hardy. I'm not going to talk about what.
I think it was the lubricant they used to move the rocks in Rome to make the pyramids. Anyway, it's funny.
Roman.
You gotta laugh
anyway,
on one day, right?
So I'm noodling around, and I find a compilation of the Joker in, I believe it was The Dark Knight Rising. But listen, this is what the Joker, the way he describes it. Oh, I don't have time for it. We'll play it in the next segment. It's too good. Because the way that they create control mechanisms to control an entire country, if not the entire world, is through creating chaos, bombing people's homes because they have Trump signs in their front lawn. Now, remember, this in the old days, it used to be the Ku Klux Klan that would burn a cross on your lawn if you were friendly to blacks. Today, if you're friendly to a Trump supporter, you are public enemy number one.
Right.
And
right,
they have created this. It's a very, very calculated way of cowering us into submission.
You know what I find is that people that are friends of mine on in the social media world, because you call them friends because of social media, but they're people that I know, they hate Trump. They hate his hair. They hate his color. They hate his nice suits that he wears. They hate his way. They hate the way he talks. They hate the way he sounds. They hate what he says. They hate everything about him because they are judgers. They live their life judging not only this guy, but judging everyone around him.
And a manifestation of that is disgust.
Yeah. And you know what? So what I've learned how to do is when I see somebody that hates Trump and they don't look at what he does, they only look at what he looks like or what they hate about him, his hair or whatever, and they make fun of him in that way, I think to myself, you know what? I'm going to have to keep an eye on that guy. Because now he's showing what his true colors are. And of course, but no matter what business you can do, it ain't worth doing bad business with a bad person. And because there is no good business with a bad person. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Anything I've ever seen before. This comes when you think you have so much power and you own the media that you can do anything you want. Well, sorry. We're going to fight for the people. We're going to vindicate their right. And the ultimate result is President Trump has won. For a Republican to win here, how many votes do we have to be ahead? 400,000 is not enough? Do you think we're stupid? You think we're fools? You know something? The Democrats do think you're stupid. And they do think you're fools. And that's why you get called deplorable and chumps. So we're going to stick with this. We're going to win this election. We've actually won it. Just a matter of counting the votes fairly.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, I got to tell you, Alan, we have a looming problem on the horizon, and it's worse than you can possibly imagine. Nobody quite understands the extent to which America has been plunged into the throes of a future conflict that will involve every human being potentially on Earth. And I want to kind of sum this up with a compilation of statements by the Joker throughout the movie The Dark Knight Rises. Listen to what the Joker says.
Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated. Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Criminals in this town used to believe in things. Honor. Respect. Look at you. What do you believe in, huh? What do you believe in?
I believe whatever doesn't kill you simply makes you a stranger. I'm the agent of chaos. Oh, and you know the thing about chaos? It's beer.
The only sensible way to live in this world is without rules.
And tonight we're gonna make your one. And here we go. Introducing anarchy. Upset the established order. Everything becomes chaos.
Mm.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and he changed it to stranger.
Stranger, yeah. But you see, this is so clear, and you know, this was from 2012. Okay, this is a really, in so many ways, a prophetic movie. But the chaos that's been introduced, the Black Lives Matter used as a battering ram, as shock troopers, to get us all to worry about that we're being the next ones that they're going to come march on our street. The chaos creates the fear creates the conformity, and then the conformity creates the anger, and the anger creates other things, including
right, because, David,
disgust.
Because human nature is what it is. It's just like if you have, in the movie True Grit last night, I was watching with Jeff Bridges. It's a newer version of True Grit, Rooster Cogburn. And there was a point where they came up on this house. I think it was kind of a bit of a brothel. And there was two kids out in front with sticks poking a donkey. So what they heard was they heard this donkey in distress as they were riding up. And it was like, and making all the noise and everything. And as they got closer, they could see that these two kids were just poking this donkey, torturing it to death. So children have a certain nature that if they go unchecked, it's like the Lord of the Flies. They just get out of control. Animals have a certain nature, much more predictable because every animal has a certain kind of a nature. But human nature is such a interesting nature because it has the ability to be completely evil, like those kids were being to that donkey, or evil to a child to, you know, sacrifice a baby in some wicked way.
Lord of the Flies.
Exactly. And or even the thought of abortion, how purely evil that is, and how they've somehow made it legal, and we've had 60 million babies, you know, murdered. But this is the crazy thing about humanity. It can justify its evilness. It can make it legal and lawful to be evil. It can make justifications for why it took a life. You know what I'm saying? Where animals, they have only instinct. They don't have the ability to morph and become pure evil. And so it's a very interesting thing to watch when you see, like we've seen in movies, okay? You're playing all these great movie clips. We know what this evil looks like. And I said it in the first hour, but we cannot step back again and step back a third time and realize, OMG.
Yeah.
This is happening in real life right now. David, our dad has told us all of our lives, one day you're going to be living your life and then the next you will lose all your liberties. You'll have to this, that, or the other. Well, he could have said you have to wear a mask. You won't be able to leave your home. You won't be able to eat at restaurants. You won't be able to go to the movies. You won't be able to go out on the street and take a walk with your wife or your children because the laws will keep you from doing it. And they'll say it's for your own good. I'm telling you, this is all something that our dad has been telling us about for 50 years.
Now, you know, Obama was interviewed. Obama, the great champion of humanity, was interviewed about a week and a half ago. And he went after President Trump. But you got to hear what he said about how black men are susceptible to the macho style of Donald Trump. Listen.
Trump did marginally better among black folks this time. I believe you won 95% of black voters. Biden only won around 80. And polls heading into the election showed that Trump actually had some marginal support among young black men in particular. Now, obviously you saw some big name rappers come out for Trump. What's going on there in your mind? Why have those numbers moved a little bit?
Well, look, I think men generally are more susceptible to public figures who act tough, sort of a stereotypical macho style.
I'm going to show you a thing of beauty. Look at that. Are these flabby arms?
I don't think black men are immune to that any more than white or Hispanic men are. A lot of the values of popular culture are constantly extolling wealth, power, frankly, greed, not thinking about other people because you're so ruthless that you're just looking out for yourself. If there are some in the hip-hop community who are constantly rapping about bling and depicting women in a certain way, and then they hear Donald Trump basically delivering the same version of it.
I'm really rich.
Grab him by the
Yeah, they might say, yeah, you know, that guy, you know, that's what I want. That's what I want to be.
I was in so many rap songs, like 79 or something. I was in every rap. This is before I did this, right?
All of which is to say the black community, like every community, is complicated. Those of us who are progressive, who think, for example, that women should be treated with respect and dignity, or wealth isn't the measure of worth, we should have a more equitable society. We can't take for granted any group. And we can't generalize and just assume, oh, well, we got black folks in our pockets, or we've got Hispanics locked up. And for that matter, we shouldn't assume that we can't win white men.
Oh, what was that noise? That little...
Okay, so that was sort of a really artsy interview, and they injected pictures and clips of video, and every time they did, they had this little
sound effect. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, what is
that? I mean, it's artsy, man. It's artsy. You know, that's Obama, man. Obama's a trendsetter, but he's progressive.
Did you say traitor? You spelled it wrong then, David.
He's a traitor setter. Trendsetter. Yeah, but, you know, he's talking about the macho style. Now, look, I mean, men, and, you know, this is, I read a book many years ago called The Secret Life of Boys. And the hardest thing for a man to do is break away and become independent and become his own person. The idea of being macho is, well, there's extreme degrees of that, but to be your own person, to be a strong individual, that is what's under assault by people like Obama, who are in that far left progressive belief system. Although he placates Iran, giving them billions of dollars, the number one state sponsor of terror in the world. He placates bullies, but he hates people who have principle and true courage. That is what the rest of us are being portrayed as.
We're
as a bunch of crazy bullies that have got to be rounded up and put down before our rabid mouths are able to talk any more truth.
You know what? The mistake that Trump has made is that he didn't actually think that all these things that he would say and did in his life would really be that much of an effect on his presidency, because he thought, I'll go in there, I will make the country so prosperous that they will forgive all these stupid things that I have done, even the things that he said while he was running, which they played a little clip of it there, because he did. He said a bunch of stupid things. I mean, he just...
But
he
he's
really
a macho man, and I like him for that. Listen, I don't agree with all the things that he did that were not right. Nobody in their right mind would. But you know what? If you're going to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs, man. This guy has made so many amazing strides in his life to become a billionaire.
Let me finish.
Let
me finish. Yeah. What I was saying is that, and unfortunately, this is how it has to happen in life, because we learn from our mistakes. And he became president because he was macho, and because of the outlandish things he would say about the drain the swamp and all these things that really resonated with people. The problem is that he didn't put enough emphasis on being a good father, a good husband, a good example in every way, shape, and form. And so now what we have is, here is a guy that is really, I'm going to say he's fully cooked. He's really ready to go. And my feeling is that he's learned enough in these last 4 years. He's learned enough. He's learned his lesson. He's been sorry for those things he said, because you have to be. You can't be proud of him.
Yeah, but I think that's beside the point. I really don't think those things define him, though.
Let me finish. The point that I'm making is that the reason why there's so many people out there in this world that are the way they were is because fathers, I keep coming back to this, have done a poor job at setting an example for their children. And I'm guilty. We're all guilty until such times, like Trump, we wake up and go, oh my God.
But those
I really didn't
not,
put enough infamous.
If you allow those things to define who you are an abject failure as a human being, because everybody makes mistakes, and you can't learn without doing that.
Listen, I didn't say we can't make it, but we get to this point where really we realize where we need to go in our lives, and it usually doesn't happen until you're 60 or 70 years old. We'll take a break, come back, and argue some more. Be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Masters. How do you like being called a statistic? Well, that's what you are, because statistically, the odds are against you. That's why my dad started well over 50 years ago to understand why people do the things they do. And that's why he wrote his first book called How Your Mind Will Make You Well. Let me read something from the foreword of the book. Our path of existence depends on our choice in this matter. By not choosing rightly or not knowing how, we continue responding to a compulsive external tug on our senses, which causes us the agony of rebelling against or conforming to what only appears to be right. Pavlov demonstrated that dogs would respond increasingly to repeated stimuli with data and feeling, and eventually, idea alone could produce the reaction. Conditioned reflex may be normal for animals, but it spells agony for mankind, daily robbing him of the will to do right. Does that resonate with you? If it does, go to FHU.com. You need to get the book called How Your Mind Will Make You Well and begin to use the Be Still and Know exercise as taught by my dad. If you go to the FHU.com website and listen to the Be Still and Know exercise, this exercise is very simple. You can listen to it before you buy it. Go to FHU.com and listen to Be Still and Know. And then also for the military, we have coping strategies. So there's no intrusion on your privacy. You can listen to the coping strategies. Feel what it feels like to be in control again. Go to the FHU.com website. That's FHU.com. The name of the book is How Your Mind Will Make You Well by Roy Masters. And Be Still and Know, the exercise. Both available at FHU.com. Conditioned reflex may be normal for animals, but it spells agony for mankind, daily robbing him of the will to do right. Does that resonate with you? If it does, go to FHU.com. Or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. And now let's join Advice Line.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
So I'm going to finish my point, which I think is really important here, because I feel like, we'll call it wisdom of age. Most fathers fail at their job of being a father. And guess what? Then they get chance number two when they become grandfather. But you know who they need to work on more than their grandchildren? Their children, because their children are now growing up, coming of age, becoming fathers themselves. And the father, the grandfather, the matriarch and patriarch, the grandmother and grandfather, really need to coach their kids how to bring up their kids and tell them everything they've learned in their life. Not be prideful and hold it back, but tell them, say, you know what? I made mistakes with you, son, but let me explain to you how it's important that we work together this time. I want to help you. My dad didn't help me, or I didn't listen to my dad, and here's what happened. But I think the grandfathers, that's why the baby boomers, this generation is so important to the next generation and the one behind that, because we have forgotten to honor the elderly. We have forgotten to do that. They're just old people. To hell with them. Get them out of the way. Put them in old folks' homes. No, we need to honor these people and go to them for the wisdom. That's the way it was when the American Indians, you know, the elders were the ones that would make the decisions because they had lived that much life, made the mistakes. They had the scars to prove it. And you know what? They hold the wisdom of generations. All right. I've stopped.
Okay. Well, I mean, that. No one would argue with that.
Yeah.
No one. No one.
That was where I was trying to go.
All right. Anyway. Now, look, going back to the things that Jordan Peterson was laying out, and also Steve Hilton, and all this whole show, basically about how identity politics is being used as a machine gun, a club to beat the rest of us over the head with. Tucker Carlson covered this, talking about how the elites are using identity politics to preserve their class system. Listen.
The more obvious it becomes that the people in charge are stupid and selfish, the more time they spend attacking you and the country they're supposed to be leading. They divide us to keep us from noticing how awful they are. And unfortunately, it works pretty well, and that's why they do it. Let's say you were incompetent and you didn't want anyone to know you were. What would you do? Well, your first task would be to destroy the meritocracy. That's a system that rewards people in this country for their effort and their talents, as opposed to rewarding them for irrelevant criteria like how they look. A meritocracy is the main threat to incompetent people. It keeps the incompetent from getting rich and powerful, and so they hate it above all. That's why they're tearing it down. So what does it look like in practice to tear down a meritocracy? Well, it looks a lot like Joe Biden staffing a presidential administration. A recent piece in Politico tells the story. According to Politico's account, the Congressional Black Caucus is demanding that Biden select a black Secretary of Defense. Not a Secretary of Defense who's good at defending America, a Secretary of Defense with the correct skin color. Now, feminist groups are mad about this, says Politico. Not mad because it would leave the country vulnerable. No, mad because they want a female Secretary of Defense. Why do they want a female Secretary of Defense? Because they're females. The Secretary of Defense should look like them, because it's all about them, not about the Pentagon or the country or the military threats we might face in the future. It is about identity, which is to say it's about narcissism. When I see people in power, I must see myself. That's the demand.
This guy is so brilliant in so many ways. Steve Hilton and Mark Levin, I have audio from him explaining the, which we'll get to tomorrow because we don't have time today. But the point is, the identity politics that Hitler used are the exact same identity politics that are being used by the Biden administration and the people on the left today against those of us who will not conform to their belief system, which is a belief system of nothing. They don't believe anything. They only allow themselves to be told what to think and what not to think. And the rest of us who will not go along with that, we are the targets, and they will round us up. I'm telling you this. They will put us on trains and they will ship us to re-education camps where we will be told if we don't do what they want us to do, well, the rest is history.
Meritocracy, a ruling or influential class of educated or skilled people. I just like to hear those words and go, what does that mean again?
Well, it's also, look, I mean, there are a lot of people, most of the very successful people in America are self-made. They pulled themselves up from the bottom. And you talk about entrepreneurs all the time, Alan.
Yep.
A meritocracy is when a person works hard and when they have achieved certain levels of success at whatever they do, those people should naturally elevate to a top position. In the alter world, where the rest of the non-meritocracy people live, they do not look at a meritocracy, only how much you conform, how much you pull their line, how much of their water you will carry. And this is what you see was talking about Joe Biden's cabinet. These are people who are, they're ideological appointees. They are not people. He was talking about the Secretary of Defense. They want a woman. Well, a woman's going to have a kinder, gentler, kinder, nicer, more sweet female perspective on how to, you know, confront America's enemies. This is all they care about. They don't care about what's actual or real. They don't care about the truth. They only care about what it looks like. What it looks like. That's all that matters to them. And he talked about it. What you look like, your color of your skin, how much you've done community service and built houses for the poor. And, you know, their world is insane. It's absolutely, purely, completely insane. And the rest of us will not be able, who have common sense, we won't be able to live there.
I'll say it again to you baby boomers that may be listening, people that have children and grandchildren, or maybe not even grandchildren yet. If you have a child that is grown up and you are now, you know, about to be a grandparent, your job, you know what they say, when a baby is born, a father is born. And when a grandbaby is born, a grandfather is born, which means that you have to rise to that next level of grand, if we can say grandfather. And, we have a big job to school our children and to teach them principles and virtues and values and make sure that we love them this time the right way, because we forgot we didn't know how to do it the first time, maybe. It's very, very important. It's a very important job, and I take my grandfatherhood seriously. All right, David, good job today on these clips. It was a very interesting selection of
That's what happens
clips.
When I have too much time to think.
I know. This is a big week. I have a feeling it's going to be a very, very big week. So I'll go back to watching the news now. Once again, I had a weekend off. Felt pretty good. But it's time to go back to the, being vigilant and watching, keeping an eye. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Perilous World Radio.